Thank you for those words of encouragement, Chris. I had to think of what you said. He is everything to me. Jesus truly desires to be everything to each one of us this morning. Everything. Everything that is desirable, I should say. Everything that man desires, Jesus wants to be that for us. But I'm sure there are limits. But whatever man needs, Jesus desires to be that for us. Amen. I'm encouraged this morning. It's good to be here again. And hesitate to do this. We just got done praying. Could we kneel for just a word of prayer this morning? Amen, Lord. We bow at your feet, Lord, again this morning. We thank you for your presence here with us today. Lord, if you would withdraw yourself, we would die. We would die to live no more. We would perish, Lord. Father, we're so thankful for your presence and your faithfulness. So thankful for your word and what you desire to teach us today. Just pray for an openness in each one of our hearts. Just pray, Lord, that I would hide this morning behind you and allow you to speak through me, Lord, these few words that I have to share. Lord, your will for our lives requires for us to be faithful. In order for your will to be perfected in our lives, you require something from us, a response, faithfulness. May we be your sheep this morning, willing to be led by the shepherd. Just ask, Lord, that you would do this, persuade us of this morning in each one of our lives, Father. We're grateful. We worship you with our heart, our spirit, our inner man this morning. We confess you with our mouth. Be with us today. We just commit this time in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be reading out of the book of John this morning. Out of the Gospel of John. I know it's one of my favorite books in all of the Bible, especially of the Gospels. And I don't want to lift this book up or this Gospel up above any of the other ones. But I have been so encouraged that as I dig into it, it's like I get buried into it, and it just keeps getting deeper. And I realize that the more I study it, the less I know about God. God shows me things that, but for the last 3 or 4 years, I said the 3 Gospels were written for us, and then John interpreted them. I don't know that that's true, but that's how I feel sometimes. But there is an emphaticness about this book that John is out to prove something to us, and to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And in order, when he does that, he writes things in this Gospel that we do not find in any of the other Gospels. Things that are very interesting, things that should get our attention. Things like the little phrase, I am. The little phrase, I am, Jesus uses more than 50 times in the book of John. And then there's this little phrase that we hear, verily, verily, that we find in the book of John. And those are words that John is trying to get our attention. God is trying to get our attention when we hear those words. The words verily, verily literally mean most definitely or most assuredly. I had to think about that this morning, and I've used that term before, most definitely. And I look back and what do I have to say that is most definite? And God help me, because there's only one thing that is sure. There's only one thing that is most definite, and that is God and His Word, and it will never change. And I'm not saying that we can't use it. I'm just saying I need to look at what I need to look at some of these things before I use them. But anyways, they're given there, they're put there for our attention to convince us, to get our attention. I just want to name a few things that we find here in John. Again, this is not a better gospel. It's not a more complete gospel. It's not a more important gospel. So I don't want to lift up this gospel above the other gospels. I just want to point out some things that we find there that are just very interesting. Number one is the new birth is explained in the Gospel of John. And these next 8 points that I want to bring out here, we can insert the little phrase, I am, in front of every one of them. And we find them only in the book of John, where Jesus references Himself with these little phrases. I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection. And then the last one that I have wrote down there, and there's more that we can find here, and it's not, that wasn't my heart this morning, was to find things here that we don't find, but the last one I've referenced here is communion. Anyways, I want to start reading in John chapter 10. I have picked out one of these little phrases that Jesus says, I am. And the one I want to use this morning is, I am the door. Just going to write it up here. I am the door. We find that phrase here in John chapter 10. And I want to just read here, starting in verse 1. I'm going to be reading some of this here. I'm going to probably get in over my head here in the short time that I have to share here. But let's begin here in verse 1. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I know my sheep, and the sheep know me, is basically what he's saying. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one shepherd. Okay, I'm not going to go back over all these. Some of these verses I'm going to touch on, and some of them I am not, but I'm sure that we all know this morning what a door is and what a door is used for. It is a means of entering in and a means of exiting out of a building, a specific place, or a confined area. It is a means to enter in, a door. In these days, almost everywhere that we go, we have to enter in and exit out of a door, almost everywhere that we go. So we do this every day. At least we enter in some way. Maybe it's not by the door, but we enter into places somehow. Now, this morning we could look at different styles of doors: expensive, cheap, fancy, glamorous, and so on. But that's not what we're going to do this morning. How many of us have walked up to a door that we really needed to get through? That we really needed to enter in through a door. And we walked up to it and it was shut. Locked. Could not get in. That ever happened? We can relate with that, can't we? What do we do at this point? I mean, it's very important that we enter in and the door is locked. We get a little creative, don't we? We look at another way to get in. We have to get through that. We have to get into this building, but this door is locked. Kind of frustrating, especially when it's our fault that we can't get through. Maybe you forgot the key or whatever. But it's a frustrating thing. And then the plan B that we use, or plan C or D, if you will, we have a backup plan, or we don't think about the backup plan until we can't get through. But then we start thinking about this and we start looking around and we think, well, I hope no one's watching because I'm going to try to get into this building. And so, but it's very frustrating because the door is locked. And you know that all you have to do to enter into this place is enter in through the door, and it's locked. Now keep that in mind, because that is one way, that is one scenario that I want you to think about. I need a volunteer this morning. Anybody want to volunteer? I'm not going to pick on you too much, but I am going to use you as a
little illustration or an example this morning. So can I have a volunteer? Are you going to volunteer, Levi?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for being so brave. Okay, Levi. How did you get in here this morning?
Through
the back door.
Yep.
I was afraid of that. See, Levi here, and Levi, just to overlook me a little bit here because I told you I'm not going to pick on you too much, but I am going to. Levi here has a habit of entering into this place, but he likes to come in the back way. He likes to come in the back door. And it's even been reported that someone seen him climbing through a window one time, or maybe skill over the back fence to get in into this place. And so he has a, you know, when I found those things out, I changed my opinion about Levi and what he's up to. You know, he wants to come here, but there's a front door that we're supposed to come through. That there's a front door to this place, but he avoids the front door and he comes in the back way. Thank you, Levi. Thank you. God bless you. Do we see here what the Lord is saying? You see, Levi here shows up, but nobody ever sees him come through the front door. And one thing that we do know is the porter, the doorkeeper. Now, he might get by with that with the sheep. Maybe some of you never seen him come in through the back way, and so you don't think about it. So he might get by with that with the sheep, but there's a doorkeeper. And the doorkeeper, he looks at his list, and he's got his eye on him. And he's looking at his list, and he doesn't see his name on his list. He doesn't have reservations to be here. He didn't make reservations, but he came in the back way so that he could enter in. But his reason for being here might not be legit, might not be the same as those who have made reservations. So the doorkeeper, he's got his eyes on him, and he sees him, and he watches him. And he asks him, "How did you get in?" He said, "Well, I came in the back door. I came in the back way." And he says, We have the door. It's not a door, but it's called the door that you have to enter in to get in order to be a part of this. So unless you go out and come in the way that you're supposed to, you can't enter in. There's no room for you here if you're going to come in some other way. And so I'm using that as an example, by the way. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But most of the people are not prepared to meet God when they get there. You might ask me, how are you so sure? What makes you so sure of that? Because not only is the Lord standing by the door, He is the door. The Lord is the door. John 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, in Proverbs 16, verse 21, it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." What is that verse saying? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Could it be the man that likes to enter in and have all the conveniences and the blessings, of the sheepfold, but is trying to come in some other way than by the door. Could it be that man? Now, I'm going to confess to us this morning that I lack understanding when it comes to sheep. If I was to teach on sheep this morning, you would probably be disappointed. I did find out a few things about sheep, but to be quite honest with you, I can't relate the way I'd like to on these verses when it talks about the sheep. I know the sheepfold are God's people. But one thing that I lack is I've never been a sheep farmer. I've never raised sheep. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, but I've never raised sheep. And the other thing is the experience that I've had with sheep have not necessarily been good. I've had an instance one time where I opened a door and the sheep came out, but it just so happened I was not the shepherd of the sheep, and they were out. And I think I spent the rest of my afternoon trying to herd a couple of sheep that wouldn't hear my voice. I could not get their attention because I was not the shepherd. And I know there was a man that's sitting here this morning that can relate with me because he was with me. But I always wondered, what does God see in sheep? You know, after I had this kind of an experience, I wondered, what does God see in sheep? I've read one time, I can't confirm this because, again, I've never seen it. I've never raised them. I don't know. But they say, like in every flock of sheep, there is a leader, per se. They kind of follow the leader. A sheep, by the way, they love to be led, or they function correctly. Now, you guys can all correct me if I'm wrong here about this sheep scenario, but they, in order for the sheepfold, in order for the sheep to function correctly, they rely on being led. And I've heard, I think I've actually read this, that, or maybe one of you guys told me, I don't remember, but I've heard that if the leader of the sheep, if he would take off running and jump over a cliff, he would lead his whole flock down that, they would all jump after him the whole flock would perish. I don't know if that's true or not. I've never seen it, so I can, you know, we can read all kinds of things about sheep. But I've also read in this little study here that a sheep will not drink water if there are waves crashing up on the shore or if it's wavy. And if they go into the water and there's a current into the water, they would literally drown because they don't like moving waters, they don't like fast waters, it would kind of relate, or it would kind of agree with Psalm 23 when it says, He leadeth me beside still waters. I don't know, but it's interesting. Those are interesting things that I've read about sheep and I've heard about sheep. But one thing that we do know, again, I said I don't think they're very smart, and I could use that reference maybe in the when it comes to the wisdom of this world or the knowledge of this world, they would probably not make it. They probably wouldn't make it. They're not very smart, but they're fairly simple. They're not proud. They're not boastful. They're not arrogant. They're a humble creature. They're not puffed up. So I think there are some things that we can appreciate about sheep. I can think of other animals that are pretty head smart, crafty, hard to hunt down because of their craftiness. But the good shepherd didn't give his life for them. It says he gave his life for the sheep.
John 10, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Why? Because he wants a people who will recognize his voice when he calls. Someone who will follow him whithersoever he goeth. Someone who is willing to enter in through the door. A wolf is nothing more than a robber. I've heard one of the smartest animals is a pig. I don't know if that's true either, but I've heard that. Have you ever watched a bunch of pigs eat when they're hungry? I'm sure you have, Dan. I'm sure you have, Aiden. He's selfish. He'll fight. And he'll do about 101 things that will annoy you if you watch him long enough. Or at least that's how it works for me. I wonder, how can that be the smartest animal in the world? But you know what? He's a pig. God don't reference to his children as pigs. He's a pig, and you'll never change him because he's a pig. You can't change a pig into a sheep, I don't think. I need to close, but I want to sum this up somehow and make it more practical what he's talking about when he says, I am the door. And he's inviting us to come in and go out freely through the door. A blessing. But he says, he that findeth some other way is a thief and a robber. He is not free. He that is not free to enter through that door is because he is a thief and a robber. Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, enter ye in. I want to just again emphasize, we find all kinds of verses in the scripture where it says, come boldly before the throne. It gives the idea of entering into a place by the door. Not by a door, but by the door. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Narrow is the gate, narrow is the way. It says straight, but I think it means an opening, a narrow opening. I had to think of this as I was studying. I went and visited my uncle some time ago. I have an uncle that I appreciate a lot. He has a huge family, and he has every one of his sons that follow him. He has the heart of all his children. But I asked him a question before I left that night, and I asked him to give me a definition of grace. Give me your definition of what grace means to you. And I'm not going to go into detail of what he said, but I listened, and I didn't correct him. But I this is a man that has a earnest, true heart's desire to not miss heaven. He can't stand a thought of him or his children going to hell. He cannot stand that thought. And so his goal and his aim is to enter in the straight gate, enter in the door, by the way of the door. That's his desire. But his view of grace is I know we all have our part. We have a responsibility that we have to do.
And we need to do it. But his responsibility is he's still trying to do enough so that whenever he can't quite attain, that God will do the rest. That's his view of grace. You know what and this is why I thought of this. Why can he not see this? What is it that he can't see? And the answer came to me last night as I was thinking about this. He hasn't learned how to be led. He hasn't learned how to trust God to be his shepherd. He has not become a sheep. And that's why I believe that you cannot turn a pig, now I'm not calling him a pig, but you cannot turn a pig into a sheep or a wolf into a sheep. That's why it says that you must die. You must be born again. One thing God can do is he can change us from death unto life. But we have to go through that door. And I want to sum this up. Being faithful in the little things. Think about your cross. We all have a cross. We all have a purpose. We all have God's will on our lives. There's something God is wanting to do in our lives. You all know this. I'm not here to tell you what it is. But we all have it. It's called our cross. It's called being faithful. It's called God's will for our lives. And if we look at God's will for our life, and we look at and we tell God, okay, we want to enter in, but we want to go some other way. We don't want to take what God has given us. We want to look for another way. I think I can get there, but I don't really have to do this. That's trying to go in some other way. And so, as we look at that, let's enter in through the door. Jesus Christ is our everything. God bless you.